Alhamdulillah, last night in the Taraweeh, the 22nd juz of the Quran was recited. In Surah Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, together with the incident of Ahzab, the battle of Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about the great rank that has been granted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that no amount of harm from anyone will be tolerated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that an-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more closer and has a greater right to the believers than even their own selves. Our own selves, our own nafs, sometimes will take us towards that which is harmful for us. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never ever show us or command us anything that is of harm to us. Everything that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conveyed, given to us, is full of benefit for us. So at the end of the 21st para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when victory started to occur, and especially when Banu Qurayza, when they were conquered, and wealth started coming into Medina Munawwara, so they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they requested an increase in their allowance. And that also, there wasn't really anything wrong with it. A woman can ask for an increase in her allowance, but the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their position is much more superior. They are not ordinary women, they are the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a very high level of zuhad and the giving up and staying away from the dunya, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were also expected to hold on to that high level. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that tell your wives, in kuntunna turidna al-hayata dunya wa zinataha, that if you desire and you want this world and the beauty of this world, then you can come, but then I will give you of this dunya and I will have to separate from you. So you will no more remain as a wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, if you choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you prefer the akhirat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for those who do good a great reward. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave this choice to his wives, all of them chose that they would prefer to stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also further says that because you are the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a very great position, and the rest of the ummah, the rest of the women of the ummah, will look at you and follow in your way. So therefore, if you have to do any wrong, مَنْ يَأْتِ مِنْكُنَّ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ then يُضَاعَفْ لَهَا الْعَذَابُ ضِعْفَيْنِ, the punishment you get also is going to be double, because the rest of the people are going to follow you. On the other hand, whatever good you do also, then you will also get double reward for it. نُؤْتِهَا أَجْرَهَا مَرَّتَيْنِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives 7 commands to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are really the ideals for all the women of the ummah. So these commands also come on to the rest of the women of the ummah. The first command is that فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ, that do not speak in a seductive way, do not speak in a soft way. So Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah explains that these were the wives of Rasulullah, such pure and noble women. It's impossible to conceive and to think, imagine, that they could have ever spoken in a seductive way, a way that will attract men. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is saying, that the voice of a woman, naturally, it has that quality that it draws men, it draws the attention of men, it captures men. So don't speak in your natural voice. Why? Because فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ, a person who has some sickness in his heart, on hearing your voice, then he will start getting desires. So therefore, when you speak, cover your voice, speak in a rough voice. So after this ayat was revealed, then the wives of Rasulullah, some of them, in fact, when there was a need, people were asking some injunction or someone needed something, and there was a need to speak to a man, then they would put a cloth over their mouth or cover their mouth so that their voice, their natural voice, doesn't reach the man. So a woman, whenever, if there is a need and she has to speak to a man, then she should ensure that she speaks in a, so to say, a sort of a rough voice, so that she practices on this command that has been given. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, and speak in a good, normal way. You don't have to be rude, etc., but your voice should be covered and concealed. The third command, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, and you should stay firm and hold on to and remain in your houses. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى, and do not come out and display yourselves, your beauty, as the people of the first type of jahiliyyah used to display their beauty, that they would come out not covered properly. their arms, legs, faces, hair, etc. would be exposed, then do not come out from your homes in this way. So a woman has to stay in her homes, in the confines of her homes. This is where Allah Ta'ala has kept her honor, her izzat. This is where she will be protected. This is her domain where she needs to stay. And she shouldn't come out from her home unnecessarily. If there is an extreme need and necessity, and Shariat has permitted when there is need and necessity, then she can come out. But at that time, the command is, لا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية الأولى. She should come out having concealed herself properly, that it's coming in front. She should wear a loose dress and what we'll say nowadays, a cloak, abaya, that completely covers her body. And she should not display any parts of her body. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Jahiliyat al-Ula. Like the first type of Jahiliyat, the first time of Jahiliyat, which is to show that there will also be a second type of Jahiliyat. And this is the times where we are living in nowadays, where women just emerge openly from their homes, and it leads to great amount of fitna, etc. And then the next command to them is, وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةِ. Establish the salah, perform salah with all its requisites. وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاءِ. And pay your zakah. وَأَطِعَنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And be obedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the last command is, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That make mention and repeat, like make a mudakara of the Quran that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the sunnah that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that is an indication that in our homes, the teachings of deen, the gatherings of deen, ta'aleem, etc. should take place. Through the barakah of this, the minds and the mindsets of our families at home will be made. And all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will then be able to uphold. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. When Allah and Rasulullah have decided anything, then nobody has a choice. They have to fulfill what has been decided by Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah Ta'ala then gives an example that there was a custom that was prevalent in Jahiliyyah where they would take the adopted son equal as the real son. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted this custom to be taken out and to be ended. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala practically made Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam practice on this command. And it's a very difficult time. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's adopted son, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu, was married to Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha. And for some reason, there was differences between husband and wife. And finally, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu gave talaq to Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that this custom should come out completely from the hearts of the believers and come out from society. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the command that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam now had to take Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha in his nikah. So it was a time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also was apprehensive of this. What will the people say? Allah ta'ala says, Wallahu ahaqqu an takhsha. That Allah has a greater right, you should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't fear the people. Whenever any command of Allah has to be established and there will be some backlash, but we should look, this is the command of Allah, have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the way easy for us then. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam practically then had to marry Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, so that this wrong belief that people had that the son, the adopted son is equal to the son, this could be removed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the great status of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu uzkurullaha zikran kathira. That O believers, make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kathira, in abundance. Every other command that has been given, there is a limit that is given to it. It's fixed with a certain time. There are conditions, etc. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is one such thing where there is no limit given to it. Not fixed to us any time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us that make zikr of Allah in abundance. And one special form of zikr you should do, وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Make the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say subhanallah, speak of the purity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Morning and evening. So two special times where a person should take out time to make the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, morning and evening. Very good time after Fajr, after Asr, before Maghrib, a person makes the tasbih. The lowest form we can do is we read tasbih Fatimi 33, 34 times. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And very easily a person will be practicing on this, making tasbih morning and evening. Allah gives us tawfiq. We try and also read the third kalima, the complete third kalima, morning and evening. And then what is the benefit of this? When you will make the dhikr of Allah, when you will make the tasbih of Allah, هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته. Allah and His malaika, they will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send special mercies upon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send, yusalli alaykum, He'll send His special mercies upon you. The malaika, they will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His special mercies upon you. لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, to take you out of all darknesses into the light. To take you out of all different types of darknesses, the darkness of kufr and shirk, and bring you into the light of iman. To take you out of the darkness of disobedience of Allah, and bring you into the obedience of Allah. Take you out of the darkness of doubt and shirk, and bring you into the light of yaqeen and conviction. So this is a great benefit of dhikr, that we get the special mercy of Allah, and we come out of all forms of darknesses. Now, alhamdulillah, we'll be spending some time here in the Khanqa. Dhikr will be made morning and evening. Many people say, we feel so nice, such a good environment, such a good feeling we feel. We have to continue with this afterwards when we leave from here also, making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lot of people complain that I'm involved in sin, I just can't come out of the sin. Make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us out of the darkness of sin into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah speaks of the great position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and some of his qualities, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shahidan, he will be a witness to the entire ummah, to all nations. وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا, he's a bringer of glad tidings, and he's a warner. وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ, he invites towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا, and he's an illuminating lamp, that through Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's coming and his teaching, Allah ta'ala removed all different darknesses that were prevalent. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further explains that, as we said, no harm can be caused to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any way whatsoever. Once certain sahaba were invited to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to partake of meals, there was a walima, and after partaking of meals, they remained sitting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of his good akhlaq, good character, he couldn't tell them to leave. And they said for a long time, this caused that leave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala says that this should not be the case, that if you are invited, especially to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then after eating, then immediately you should disperse, shouldn't sit around talking and engaging in conversation. This causes harm to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the command is given, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَ, the command of parda. And this is a command that actually shows the honor of a woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that first tell your wives, قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ, and tell your daughters. So it's those great women, they were given this command. And then وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, the general believing women also, يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَ, that they should draw their cloaks over them. When they emerge from their houses, then they should wear they should have such apparel that completely covers the body from the top to the bottom, that no shape and size of their body can be seen. So this is how a woman should come out of a house. In fact, she should come out, certain sahaba mentioned, like tafilatin, in a certain way that like the certain of grime on her, that nobody will want to look at her a second time. Nowadays we see the cloaks and the abayas. It, sometimes a woman herself, she's old, she's not so beautiful, but the cloak that she wears, it's so beautiful, and it attracts a person, makes a person, now draws a person he wants to see now. Such a beautiful cloak, I wonder how the woman who's wearing this, how she looks. This goes completely against the grain of what hijab is supposed to be. So a woman should veil and cover herself completely. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَيُّعَ رَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ, what's the purpose of this? What's the benefit of this? Is that they will be recognized, that they are noble women, and nobody will cause any harm to them. Nobody will, no catcalling, nobody will cause any taklif to them. So this is, so the command of hijab is to preserve the honor and the status of a woman. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we make an effort to bring this command alive in our families, in our homes. The next surah is the surah to Saba. In here Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions the incident of Qawm Saba. And before that Allah Ta'ala mentions the great favors that Allah Ta'ala had granted Dawood Alayhi Salaam and his family. Dawood alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala had granted him the great honor fortune that when he used to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the mountains would also join him in making dhikr. The birds also would stop their flight and circle around, and they would make dhikr with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made metal, iron, very soft for him. With it he could make different types of things. He could make armor, etc. And then for Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah granted him also many great favors. The wind was at his command. A journey that would normally take 1 month, he could cover the distance only in the morning or in the evening. So in one day he could cover the distance of 2 months journey. And the jinnat were put at his service. They used to, on his command, construct and build for him big buildings, different types of constructions and big pots, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had granted them all these great favors. Then Allah ta'ala says, اعملوا آل داود شكرا. O family of Dawood, alayhi salatu wasalam, do the amal of shukr. Make shukr to Allah. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the word is amal, اعملوا. To show that shukr is a amal that a person has to do. Consciously, a person has to think of the ni'mat of Allah, appreciate the ni'mat of Allah, attribute it to Allah, and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And then Allah ta'ala, so to say, complains, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ, that very few of my servants are grateful. Most people, they are ungrateful. They don't appreciate the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So a person that appreciates the bounty of Allah, Allah will preserve that bounty. Allah ta'ala will increase it. Allah ta'ala says that so much so, even after a person dies, that see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, they were making shukr, the family of Dawood were making shukr. Allah preserved their bounties. Allah ta'ala gave them even more. Allah took great work from them. The construction of Masjid al-Aqsa was taken, took place on the hands of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And even after he passed away, his command still remained over the jinnah. They didn't know he had passed away. He was standing on his staff. They were still carrying on with their work. So when a person will make shukr, his bounty will be preserved. Then Allah Ta'ala gives the example of Qawm Saba. Allah had also blessed them. Allah had given them lots of bounties. They had Shannatani ayyamini wa shiman, gardens that used to be on the right and left. As they would walk on either side of the road, there were gardens with fruit trees and other vegetation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told them, كُلُوا مِن رِزْقِ رَبِّكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ. Make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See what a beautiful land Allah has given you. You have a Rabb who is so kind and forgiving. But they turned away. They didn't make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala caused the dam to break. And a flood came and wiped out everything. All of those fruit trees, all of that vegetation, crops, etc. was all totally destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about their villages. Allah ta'ala had made it such that when they would travel from one place to another, at different intervals, there were villages where they could rest, where they could have food. They never had to carry with them food for the way. They could have food, etc. Like how nowadays you'd have in different intervals, garages or motels, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such for them, but they did not make qadr for the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, they said, oh Allah, ba'id bayna asfarina. We don't want our journey to be like this. You make it difficult for us. Make it far so that we can feel the difficulty of the suffer. Allah doesn't like it. When Allah gives a person a bounty, a person should appreciate the bounty and he should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further on explains that on the day of Qiyamah, that those people who were, so to say, the big people in this dunya, those who followed them will lay a charge against them and they will say, لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ, that you people, you all were the leaders, you all were the big people in dunya. If it were not for you, we would have had iman. And then those people, those who consider nowadays the stars, the influencers, etc., they'll try to get themselves free from this. They'll say, did we stop you from the guidance when it came to you? No, you yourselves, you all were wrongdoers. But these people will say, no, بَالْمَكْرُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, it was all your plannings. You all planned and you all plotted and schemed, made different ways to take us away from Allah so that we make kufr in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But both of them will be consigned to Jahannam. وَأَسَرُّوا النَّدَامَةَ لَمَّا رَأَوُوا الْعَذَابِ, when they will see the punishment, they feel very ashamed, but they will conceal their regret so that people don't have a chance to mock at them, but this will be of no benefit for them. And then finally Surah Fatir was recited. Surah Fatir is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the one who creates without any previous example, sample, and without the need for any matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates totally by His Qudrat. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains His great Qudrat and power and stops the people who used to commit shirk, that there's no benefit in shirk. Now, alhamdulillah, we have iman. We don't associate partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But seeing and reading all of these ayat on the Qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the message for us is that we should attach ourselves to this being, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does all of these great, great things. He's the only one that can benefit us, that can help us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has created us. He's created us from sin. And He has made for us our spouses, our partners. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one. Look at how Allah has made the different waters. We have two masses of water. One is azbun furatun, is sweet, palatable, ta'ighun sharabuhu, it's easy to drink. And right next to it, hadha milhun ujaj, this one is salty and bitter. This is all the great power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the ships that are traveling on the ocean. They travel by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person takes a small piece of iron, puts it on the water, what will happen? It will sink down. Here, thousands and thousands of tons are allowed to float and stay above the ocean, above the water. This is all by the permission of Allah. Night and day, this is in the control of Allah. The sun and the moon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has subjugated it for you. So, attach yourselves to Allah. Anybody else besides Allah, in tad'uhum, if you call out unto them, لا يسمعوا دعاكم, they can't hear your call. وَلَوْ سَمِعُوا مَا اسْتَجَابُوا لَكُمْ, if they could even hear, they will not be able to fulfill your needs, they will not be able to answer you. So the only being we should attach ourselves to is Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the doors for us to call out to Him. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that all mankind, all of you are beggars to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At all, no matter how much you have of this dunya, how great you are, but you are faqir in front of Allah. You are a beggar in front of Allah. Allah has given us, so to say, a begging bowl, our two hands. Whenever we have any need, we lift up our hands and we beg and we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the only one who can fulfill our needs, fulfill our desires. So we have to understand and realize we are totally in need of Allah, and we have to make an effort to connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he brought the kitab of Allah. When we will hold on to the kitab of Allah, then we will be preparing for the akhirat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us jannatu adnin, gardens of eternity. Person will enter in there and stay in there forever. He'll be given such bounties that he couldn't dream of in this world. Bracelets of gold and pearls. His clothes will be of silk. And he'll thank Allah. He'll make shukr to Allah. Alhamdulillahi alladhi azhaba anna al-hazan. All praise to Allah who has removed from us the grief of this dunya, the grief of having to enter into Jahannam. And then a person will remain in Jannah forever and forever. No, he'll never get tired. He'll never be asked to go out from there. So we have to make that effort in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end says that Allah is very kind and merciful. He gives you so much of chances. He allows you that after you have committed a wrong to turn back to Him. He doesn't take you to task immediately. وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةِ. If Allah ta'ala had to take men to task every time they do something wrong, then nobody would be left in this world. If a person sees something wrong with his eyes, and Allah has to take him to task, snatch away his eyes. Every time he listens to something wrong, Allah Ta'ala takes away his power of hearing. He speaks wrong, Allah Ta'ala takes away his tongue. Then what would happen? Allah doesn't do this. Allah is kind and merciful. He gives us a chance. We should make tawbah, repent, and connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grant us all tawfiq.